Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
The Lord is awesome, the Lord is wonderful, and there is none like Him. Amen. How many people believe the joy of the Lord is your strength? We can do nothing without the Lord. If you woke up this morning, it's because the Lord has been good to you. Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord been good to you? Has the Lord been good to you? I want you to be awakened in your spirit. The reason why we need to be awakened in our spirit is this, because we are spiritual beings. He said, we live in the spirit. He said, let us also walk in the spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? How many people know that the flesh is a mess? The flesh is a mess. We thank the Lord for His goodness. We thank the Lord for His faithfulness. We thank the Lord for His wonderful. And I want to thank the Lord for my pastor and his wife, Pastor Denton, Pastor Odali Spencer. Can you give them a round of applause for the Lord is good? And thank the Lord for his faithfulness, because the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. We thank the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Most High God. He is the Lily of the Valley. In the line of the tribe of Judah. Come on, let's give Jesus a round of applause. Come on, he's faithful. Oh, come on now, you can do better than that, because you know, if you had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you won't be in this place this morning. Come on. Come on. Woo! I'm excited. Why? Because the Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. My question to you this morning is this: are you free? By the grace of God, we are free. I want you to stand with me one more time this morning as we go before the presence of the Lord in prayer, for the Lord is good. Abba, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Abba, Father, for without you, we can do nothing. We thank you, Abba, Father, for your faithfulness. For in you, we live, we move, and have our being, and without you, we can do nothing. We thank you, Abba, Father, for allowing the joy of the Lord to be our strength. We thank you for being a way maker. You make a way out of no way, and you furnish his water in the desert. Abba, Father, we thank you for being here with us this morning. For your word declare, whereby two or three or more gather together in your name, you are in the midst. Abba, Father, and you said in your word, whereby two or three more gather together, and we touch and agree on anything you said for us to believe, whatsoever we ask in your name, that it shall be done. Abba, Father, you know each and every need in this room. Abba, Father, allow me to decrease that you may increase. That your word that goes forth out of my mouth will sow a hundredfold in the heart, mind, soul, and the spirits of the hearers this morning. That they will receive, Father God, the engrafted word of God that's able to save our soul. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him where you choose the best Sunday to be at his church. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated before the presence of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. We had a wonderful time this morning in the Spanish service. But the Lord is good. And I know we are going to have a wonderful time in this service as well. Because the Lord says, whereby two or three or more are gathered together in his name is in the midst. Amen. Do you remember the scripture in the book of Philippians 4 and 13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. I want you to go with me this morning to the book of Psalms 91. Hallelujah. Psalms 91. I know some of us still come to the church with our Bibles and electronics and everything Hallelujah, that we can search the word. Pastor has been preaching from the book of Genesis and teaching from Genesis chapter 1 all the way on down to chapter 40, 45. We are enjoying the power of the word. Amen. But if you want the word to work, you got to understand about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. If you are not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, then where are you? If you are not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, then where are you? From Genesis all the way to Revelations is the Word. And the book of John chapter 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself, you know. And I enjoy that so very much. But when I begin to look at the Word in the book of Psalms 91, it says something very powerful. I want someone to read from the church. Psalms 91 verses 1 and 2. What did he say? Live under the protection of God Most High. Come on. Whew. Give me the second one too. And stay in the shadow of God all-powerful. What does it mean to stay in the shadow of God all-powerful? It means to remain in the secret place. A lot of people don't understand. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to understand something this morning, that prayer is dwelling in the secret place. How do you maintain the secret place of the Lord in your life? How do you dwell in the secret place? Praying. Praying. Prayer will change you and you will change things. As I study the word and I stay before the presence of the Lord, and as I ask the Lord, Lord, how many times does a believer pray in a day? I will ask some people, how often do you pray? Say, I pray when I get ready to eat my lunch. I pray when I get ready to eat my breakfast. I said, that's good. I said, you don't understand what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High is for you to maintain prayer as a lifestyle. You got to pray without ceasing. You got to pray in season and out of season. You got to pray, oh, come on, Holy Spirit. And I feel the presence of God. One thing about there are different religions. As I study, say different religions, different denominations, different everything. Okay. Versus only one church. Only one church. There are no different churches. We make different churches. Yes. But there is only one church. But Jesus spoke to the church. The church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my what? Church. And the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Okay, another for the gates of hell not to prevail against the church. You got to learn how to dwell in this secret place. You have to learn how to dwell in the secret place. As I examine the word, I say, your word said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, now, I said, okay, let me get some understanding here. When I begin to study the word, I begin to see that the Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. They don't play with it. Wherever you see them, they get on their knees, they pray, they do their thing. I don't know, but they do their thing. I said, wow. They said, do it faithfully. 5 times a day. So when you look at the Jews, they pray 3 times a day. All their lives. Prayer is a habit for them. They maintain the habit. They maintain the attitude
of prayer.
So as I begin to examine this thing, I begin to see. I mean, listen, I say, is this some kind of ritual or something to get to God? Or is it, wait a minute, you, what are you supposed to do to maintain the presence of God in your life?
Pray.
So look at them. They're praying. They never miss. It doesn't matter what they're going through. They do it whether they're happy. They do it whether they're sad. They do it whether they're broke. They do it whether they have money. They do, whatever they're going through, they do it. They do it whether they're blessed or not. They maintain that relationship with their God. I said, wow, okay. You're going to see this thing. You're going to see the traces of these things. You see them. You see them being faithful. You see them doing everything that they do. Whether they're happy or not, they pray. Huh? No matter what's going on in their life, they are maintain the attitude of prayer. They just do it. And I begin to examine. I said, well, for them, it's a lifestyle. So that's something that they had to do. That's something that they are taught to do and how to do. They was raised like that. So I continue to examine the word. But you, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you got to understand something. Jesus told you something very, very specific. You, as a citizen of the kingdom, you was challenged to pray without what? What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Non-stop. Non-stop. Okay, now, in order for you to be able to pray non-stop, it's got to become a lifestyle. It's got to become something that you do. It's got to become something that's incorporated in your spirit. It's got to become something that you do out of the ordinary. It's just an habit. It's just a way of life for you, just to pray without ceasing. Huh? In order for you to be able to take over the world, for you to be able to take care of the nations, for you to be able to take out your school, to take over your neighborhood, to take over your family, to take over your friend, to take over everything going on around you, you got to learn how to pray without ceasing. See, if you don't learn how to pray without ceasing, what is happening in the spiritual realm, you will never understand. You see all the things happening around you. You see war. You see rumors of war. You see killing. You see shooting. You see rape. You see all this thing. You see terrorist action. You see everything going on in the world. You see everything happening on the news every day. But the people that are supposed to pray without ceasing are sleeping on the job. What do you think is going to happen? In order for us to be able to take over, in order for us to be able to penetrate, in order for us to be able to tell the devil enough is enough, we have to engage in this prayer mode to change the things, to turn the situation around, to move things. We see sometimes we say nothing cannot be moved, but let me tell you something. Jesus said, for those that believe, nothing shall be what? Impossible. Amen? So how do we make these things happen? We got to get before the presence of the Lord and pray. Or if all we do is just pray one or two times a day. Oh man, I pray this morning. I'm going to pray before I go to sleep tonight. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but let me tell you something. If that's all you do, you pray one or two, three times a day, then we think we have made it. Then we think we have arrived. Huh. Let me tell you something, sisters, brothers in the house. Unless prayer become your lifestyle, continuously, I'm talking about continuously, consistently. Come on, you see, you where you at today because you think you have arrived or something like that. But let me tell you something else that's coming. You got to learn how to pray in the morning, pray in the noontime, pray in the midday, pray in the evening, pray at night, pray at midnight, unless you understand the four seasons of prayer and how you are supposed to engage. Let me tell you something. The devil is enraged. The devil is ready to attack. Jesus told you in the book of John 10 and 10, it said the devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Man, that brother got triple PhD. He got PhD in killing. He got PhD in destroying. He got PhD in killing. So now, wait a minute, you want to take his PhD from him? You got to engage. You got to engage as a prayer warrior to take back everything the devil stole from you. Oh, the devil don't play. No. Jesus told us, and listen, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. So unless we, as the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, unless we pray, we take time to understand the four seasons of the day, the four seasons of the night, how we engage in prayer, how we engage in the mysteries of prayer, the mystery that seems to, you know, change things, to move things, to direct things, to change the situation around you. You know, there's a lot of things that's causing distraction, even in your life right now. But you don't know because it's spiritual. You don't understand what you're going through because it's spiritual. So as the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we follow the four seasons. We pray without ceasing. Come on, Holy Spirit. It's a pray without ceasing. Praying consistently. When prayer becomes a lifestyle, just like these other people, you pray without stopping. Just like it said in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It said, pray without ceasing. So now, when Jesus tells you and me to pray without ceasing, that means we have to engage a lifestyle of prayer. Listen. The Bible tells you wrestle not against the flesh and blood, right? Okay, you think it's your brother, you think it's your pastor, you think your this. No, it doesn't have anything to do with them. Because the weapon of our warfare, not war, carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling out of every stronghold. But if you are not in that relationship with God, how can you understand what's going on in the atmosphere? How can you understand the seasons? How can you understand the watches? How can you understand what you need to do, huh, in the spiritual realm as a citizen of the kingdom? Why did God say, no, you pray without ceasing, no matter what you do. Ain't no excuses. Prayer has to become a necessity for survival. Yes, prayer becomes what? A necessity for survival. You know, in order for you to maintain victory and victory in your life, you got to engage, okay, in the mystery of prayer. How often do you pray? Don't raise your hand. Don't tell me, because God knows. The Lord knows. Say, don't. Listen, be careful. He said, God knows those who are what? His. So now pay attention to what the Spirit is saying to the church. In order for you to be able to maintain a daily victory, you got to learn to position yourself in a place of prayer. Because for believers, anointing doesn't come, okay, just by preaching. Anointing doesn't come just by what? Teaching. Anointing come in that secret place of the Most High. When you get before the presence of the Lord and the Lord look at you, that this time that you're spending with him, the Lord will look at you right there and the Lord will breathe on you. The Lord will breathe into your spirit. The Lord will anoint you to be able to accomplish everything that he has called you to do. Why? Because you maintain that relationship with him. How often do you pray? Okay. The Lord wants to bless you, but you are too busy. Why? Because the enemy has positioned a distraction to get you away from from focusing on what the Lord has called you to do. You're worrying about this. You're worrying about that. The main thing that you're supposed to be worried about, you're not. But you're worrying about things. Jesus told you, do not what? Worry. But if the enemy got you positioned in a place of worryation, guess what? You can pray. Amen. Huh? All the distraction ain't nothing but worryation. Oh, yeah, but I'm worried about this. What's going on? The Lord tap you on your shoulder. What about me? Listen, calm down. Calm your nerve a little. Calm your little spirit down. Come on, the Lord is calling you. He's calling you to a place of prayer. He's calling you to a place of a relationship with him. What's your relationship with the Lord? I sing, I pray. No. It's a place of prayer. It say, he that what? Dwelleth. Where? In the secret place. Where? Of the Most High. Shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now let me ask you, brothers and sisters, where are you abiding? Do you even have the keys to that place? Man, you can't dwell in a place where you don't have no keys. Oh, well, I'm sorry, bro. You know, my relationship with the Lord is now, you know, I don't know when was the last time I went to church, you know what I mean? But don't you go to church on Sunday? Yeah, you know, that's just my Sunday thing. If that's only your Sunday things, then what happened all throughout the weeks? So you just let the devil walk rampant all over you. That's the reason why you can't seem to find out what's going on. But when you engage, in the place of prayer, when you engage in a place where you can call on God 24/7, He opens the door. You have to understand something. Prayer is not a duty. Some people make prayer seem as a duty. No, man. It's not a duty. It's a privilege that you get to get before the presence of the Lord and talk to the Lord and call on God like, Lord, here I am. You give me the liberty to seek your face when you may be found, to call unto you while you're near. So, God, where is it that you're not near? Your word said, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. Come on, you said you will be with me until what? The end of time. So if you are here, so what is my position in the spiritual realm? Are you praying without ceasing, just like God has mandated for us to pray without ceasing? Well, to be honest with you, I don't pray like I'm supposed to pray, but, you know, I pray every now and then, you know, during lunch. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, today, okay? In order for us to be able to navigate through this end time, are you seeing what's going on around you? Are you seeing what's happening? Are you seeing what the devil is doing? Yes, you can see it very clearly. But my question is this to you, what are you doing? Man, you know, I don't understand. Well, no, I need you to understand today. You cannot navigate through the end times, this storm that you're looking at, if you are not, go back to that place of prayer. You need to go back to the place of prayer. No, you're not praying like you're supposed to. I just knew it. Some of the stuff that you go through, some of the stuff that you're dealing with, some of the stuff that you're lifting, that's too heavy for you. I guarantee you, when you get before the presence of the Lord and seek His face, when you may be found and call unto Him while He's near, I guarantee you the Lord will move things around you. It said, ask and you shall what? It says, seek and you shall what? It said, knock and you shall what? Open. Come on, Holy Spirit, this is the promise. Why? In order for us to maintain that relationship with the Lord, He asks us to seek His face when He may be found. He asks us to knock. He asks us to ask. He asks us to see. What does that mean? That means you can maintain a constant relationship with the Lord in your prayer life, in your prayer attitude. So now let me ask you something, brothers and sisters in the Lord. When was the last time do you hold on to the Lord's feet? Like, listen, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. When was the last time? Everything is good, you know. I say, okay. How good is it when you're worried about this? How good is it when you worry about that? But I said something. Lord, this is what you said. We have to go back to the place of prayer. Okay, what are you doing? Like, listen, you are where you are today. Thank God for Jesus. Okay, you're doing good. Everything is fine. But I want you to understand something. In order for you to maintain where you are today, you got to go further. Don't remain in one place. You need to go even further than where you are right now. Okay, when you get to this place, you figure, no, I'm all right. I'm good. Everything is all right. That's when all of a sudden, boom, you realize, it just happened. It was suddenly. What were you doing? If I know, I should have been praying. I should have been praying. Well, you was given the mandate to pray without what? Ceasing. So there's a reason for that. So you can cover every area when you begin to pray, when you engage. Because in order for you to navigate through the storm of this end time that we're living in order for you to be able to possess, in order for you to possess everything that God is giving to you, you got to learn to maintain that habit of prayer. Whatever made you who you are today, I want you to understand. And what you are going to be for, let me tell you, you need to have the idea of praying constantly. Constantly. Because there are people in the Bible that try to get through to God. Yeah. So how are we going to get through to God? Yeah. We got to pray and seek His face. But how do we do it? Okay, well, I remember Jonah. God told Jonah, I need you to go here and I need you to deliver my message. Okay. Do you realize Jonah didn't tell God no? He didn't say no. Jonah just went where he wanted to go. It's the same thing with us. He didn't tell God, I'm not going to go to... Okay. All right. Go to Nineveh. Oh, go to that place. Oh, dear. Okay, God told him one thing. You remember you stayed before the Lord. He said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay. And then you turn around from look like, what? None of you got to be kidding me. Lord, well, I got to the bus station. Okay, ain't no bus going to Nineveh. Glory to God. Well, it must be. Amen. Come on. You just got before the bus line. Said, oh, well, Tarshish. Okay, well, you know, I get God don't want me to go to Nineveh since he just gave me the bus going to Tarshish. So therefore, let me board this one. So you know how we change God's plan sometimes, you know. You know, we just help him out. Instead of praying, he just got before the bed. Lord Jesus, thank you. I get God just changed his mind immediately. Well, thank you, Jesus, because you know very well I don't want to go to Nineveh. Thank you, Lord. But he went opposite direction. Because something significant happened. You know, God got a way of correcting his people when we make the wrong decisions. And it was all to help us to maintain our relationship with him. It went the opposite direction. But God has a plan in every single thing that we do. Okay, in the middle of this journey, going the opposite direction, God uses his disobedience to correct some people on the boat. Because when trouble came, now everybody on the boat had to seek their God. I don't know what kind of God they got in there. Maybe they got Muslim, they got Jews, they got everybody on the boat. I don't know who they got. They got Hindus. But I know the captain of the ship said, everybody, it's time to pray. Because if not, everybody going down. He commanded everyone on the boat to call on their God. Oh, yeah. When you have to call on your God, that means to pray, right? So everybody on the boat start calling on their God. Just to find out that God ain't God. Because as much as they prayed, nothing happened. But the captain went under the boat, saw Jonah sleeping. He wasn't praying. He was what? Sleeping. I want you to understand something today, that Jonah represents the believers that were told to do one thing, but guess what? Sleeping. But God allowed the captain of the boat to go in there to see Jonah sleeping. He said, hey, what are you doing down here? Come on, everybody else praying upstairs. You over here sleeping. Come on. And he said, wait, hold your peace. I'm the problem in this boat. And let me tell you what. I'm the solution to your problem. What you mean you're the solution? Everybody upstairs praying. He said, hey, listen, you understand me. I know the God that I serve. So all you need to do right now is just kill me and your problem will be solved. What? Okay. Let's go on. Everybody was praying, call on their God. The boat was still moving. But now this is the thing that I saw. God showed me something. He said, Jonah, let the people know there is no other God, but he's God. He said, now this is what I want you to do. Just pick me up. And just throw me over the board. And you will have peace. And I guarantee you, your prayer will be answered. You look at everybody on the boat like, oh, is this for real? Well, listen. Anybody want to die here? Well, we're going to just go ahead and commit this murder right quick. Because, listen, I got my family at home. Listen. You're going to be an accomplice. And listen, let's just go ahead and Lego him over. Come on. Because I got to see my family, my wife, my daughter, everybody, children at home. Come on, let's get rid of this dude. If it's the answer to our prayer, let's do what God wants us to do. And then what happened? They let go of Jonah. And their prayer was answered. And everybody on the boat now served the God of who? Jonah. Come on. He said, no, Jonah's God is the real God. Come on, everybody, call on that God right now. As I told you all about this thing right now. Everybody start calling on the God of Jonah. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven, there's a story to learn in the Bible. To learn the story, how we seek the Lord, how we call on God. I was sharing with the Spanish service this morning. What are you doing in the morning that you can come to pray? You're busy. Pastora over here every Tuesday morning, faithfully, praying for the children. They have a little thing. They have the picture of all the children. Maybe they got some of the picture of your children on that thing. But you ain't doing nothing in the morning. You ain't working, but you working in the evening or in the afternoon. But you never take one day out of your busy schedule to come out here and sit and pray with them. But when it's time to go to the store, you go to the store, you get orange, eggs and everything. When you're supposed to be praying, you want to go here and get that, get this, get that. Come on. What about getting prayer? You don't understand, you know. Yeah, I understand. Because the enemy brings the spirit of distraction that you can't even come to pray, but you can go everywhere else. Why? Sometimes I'm over here praying all the time. I'm engaged. I love praying. Now you can put me right in front of television. I'll be watching television, but man, I'm engaged. It don't matter where I'm at. I'm engaged. Don't plug me in. You plug me in, I'm engaged. You just give me a reason to pray. There's always a reason to pray. So now I stay before the presence of the Lord, no matter where I'm at. Because now I be here, and I say, Pastora, just Pastora and Mana Maria. Mana Maria that doesn't go to church here. Be right here praying with Pastor and all the women that their children's picture on the board are not even here. Come on, give Pastor a round of applause, man, because she take that time out. She do it faithfully. She's been doing it for years, and she's still doing it. It don't matter. Listen, if the church is busy, they go in that little room over there. They're going to pray anyway. That's what I'm talking about. But we, how often do we do it? But listen, I just don't think it takes all that. Let me tell you something. If we were given the mandate to pray without ceasing, the door is open for you to pray wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, say pray without ceasing. Connect with Jesus wherever you are. There's only one way that you can connect with Jesus is through the power of prayer. Come on, Holy Ghost. Let me bring this thing home because it's good. You don't understand. Prayer opens doors in all different places. Prayer goes where money can go. You understand? Okay? A lot of people put confidence on different things. But we would trust in the name of the Lord our God. And how do we do it? We call on His name. I remember when I look in the Old Testament, the mystery, when I begin to look at the mysteries of prayer, when I begin to see brothers praying in the Bible, I see prayers that tie the hand of God. I say, my. I say, if those brothers can stand for the Lord. Moses. Somebody give me the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, verses 9 through 11. I want you to see something right quick. If a brother like this can get before the presence of the Lord and tie God's hand, you see, you got to understand something. The Lord has already taken a decision, okay? In Exodus, yes, 32, Exodus 32, verses 9 through 11. I want you to pay attention to this. You see, it was an encounter between God and Moses, okay? The Lord has taken a decision, but Moses engaged in the mystery of prayer. Come on, Holy Ghost. Somebody read it out for me. What's this? Pay attention to this now. It said, I send this to Moses. God said to Moses, come on.
Now leave me alone.
Now, come on, what? God telling Moses to leave him alone. How did God held the hand of God? Moses held the hand of God. How did he do it? What? I can't hear you. What did you say? Through prayer. God told Moses to leave him alone. How can Moses tie the hands of God? Because Moses understands the mysteries of prayer. Moses get before the Lord like, no, you're not going to do this. Not today. Not on my watch. God told Moses, leave me alone. So I know what prayer can do. I know what prayer can do. So my question is this. What can you do? What did he say? What did God say? No, come on. Come on.
Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn.
He said, leave me alone that my anger may burn. Okay, listen. God said, let me destroy them. Moses said, not today. God, you got to take today off. Moses got before the presence of the law. He said, no. Moses was engaged. I look at the wall. He got right there. He engaged in an instrument. Instrument that seems to what? To move and tie the hand of God. He tied his hand. God, look at Moses like you. Huh? The only system in the world that can achieve anything is prayer. I don't know what you got, but I got prayer. And I can ask you, how often do you pray? I mean, the only system in the world, I don't know what system you have. Because one day your computer is going to crash. One day your phone is going to crash. But one thing that's not going to crash is prayer. Your computer can't tie the hand of God. Your phone can't tie the hand of God. But prayer can tie the hand of God. Come on, go to verse 11. Come, what you say? Come on, what's this? Come on. The brother was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. God said, let me go. Let me go. What can tie God down? He said, let me go. And the Moses said, no. Let go of me. Oh, no. He said, no. Come on. Moses said, no. Not today. But how long you been praying for God to do something? But you pray one or two times, you got tired. Now, I've been praying. You only pray one time. You say, well, I'm tired of praying. You only pray one time. Well, I don't ask God. No, it seems like instead of praying, you was complaining. Don't you know the difference between praying and complaining? To engage in the habit of prayer is different from complaining. The moment you start saying, well, I don't pray, I don't fast. No, you're not praying, you're complaining. You're complaining now. Now, to get before the presence of the Lord is serious. You can complain when you get before the presence of the Lord. You are engaged in the mystery of prayer. You're telling God, Lord, I need you to move in my situation. I need you to move in everything that I'm going through. I need you to do something in this situation. I say, okay, you're serious, huh? Okay, I'm going to move. And then I see this. The people of the Old Testament, they know how to engage in the habit of prayer. They know how to dwell in the secret place. But we, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven today, we are so lenient. I got Jesus. The devil said, yeah, okay, I got Jesus too. But I can't live according to the word of God. So now I begin to look. I say, Old Testament, I saw the brother Elijah. Brother Elijah got it going on. Brother Elijah went in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 42. When you look at that story, before we get to speak, I'm bringing this thing home now. Because I want you to understand something. If you are not engaged, okay, where God intended for you to be engaged, I'm telling you right now, distraction is going to settle in and you're going to miss what the Lord is doing in the spiritual realm. Why? Because you got to understand something, that you wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in the high places that you don't see. There are things that are going on behind you in the spiritual realm that you don't see. But the only way you can penetrate through this thing is through the power of prayer. And God told you, said, listen, pray without ceasing. So now, give me 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and you give me what it said in verse 42. What did he say? Right quick. But I want you to understand something. Before we get there, Elijah went to King Ahab and said, listen, as long as the Lord does not live, this day, there's not going to be rain for 3.5 years. I mean, I can see the king looking, who are you? How you going to say, watch and see. So the brother just went and declared for there not to be rain 3.5 years. Okay, now God shut the heaven. That's it. No rain, no water. Everything was dying. Animals dying. No fruit, no crop, nothing happening. Nobody can go to the store. No Winn-Dixie, no Publix, no nothing. Because there ain't nothing going up there. So nobody can enter in. So now what happened? Everybody was looking for something to eat. There was famine in the land. Okay, now 3.5 years have passed. Now, it's very, now pay attention to this now. It's easy for you to pray and ask God to do something That was easy. But now, it's 3.5 years after. Now you want to go back to God and tell God to open what you closed. Oh, you're going to figure out it's not going to happen just like you did the first time. We want to see where your relationship is with the Lord. So I guess what happened? Elijah went to the Lord this time. Well, it's been 3.5 years, Lord. I don't know how to do this. Okay, I was with the king last time, but this time I'm coming up to the mountains because he knew it wasn't going to be as easy as it was the first time. So this brother got before the presence of the Lord, said, Lord, here I am again. So, but this time, what you tied in the beginning, I want you to lose it now. Okay, well, let's see how bad you want it. So you pray one time, you pray two times, you pray three times, you get tired. And you start praying the fourth time because God didn't answer. But let's see what happened. Huh? Give me verse 42. What did he say? Okay, wait a minute. He climbed up to the Mount of the Carmel? My God. He said, wait a minute. Yes, it went all the way to the mountain. On top of the mountain. Listen, Lord, I need to get your attention this time. Because this famine in the land is a little bit too much. People can't bear it. People are dying. Animals dying. Yeah, listen, it's been 3.5 years. You got to do something. But this time, it went all the way to the mountain. And what did he do? Listen, what's this? It bowed down to the ground. Come on, Holy Spirit. It put his face between his knees. Now, want something. Because you pray and ask God for something one way. But now you want God to do something. So you got to understand the place of humility when you get before the presence of the Lord. You want God to do something for you. You got to learn to take a different posture. When you get before the presence of the Lord, it depends on the level of your asking. This time, it didn't do it the way it did it first time. It went before the presence of the one to the man and said, no, I want you to hear me this time. Come on. It said, now, I want you to open what we closed the last time. Well, how bad do you want it, Elijah? Elijah get before the presence of the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what your decision is, but this is my prayer. I need you to open up heaven. We need water. We need rain. We need food to grow. We need this thing to grow. Are you complaining? Oh, first, second, and third time, he sent the servant to go out there and look. When his prayer looked like he was complaining, after you shot the stuff. So now you want to open it, you got to come different than that. So the brother humbled himself. When was the last time you humbled yourself before the Lord in prayer? All the spirit of pride is still taking place in your life. You don't even pray like you're supposed to pray. But Elijah understands the God that he serves. He went before the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. He sent his servant and said, go outside and look. See if God answered my prayer. The servant went outside. He didn't see nothing. He said, look, it's nothing. When the fourth, the second, the fourth time, he said, no, there is nothing. The brother didn't leave. He maintained his position before the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know how to do it. But I know that you hear me when I pray. But I'm praying for this 5 times. Lord Jesus, would you just move? Got up from praying. He said, go look. He sent the servant to the servant. Where? Listen, I can see him look at Elijah. Brother, I'm going this 5th time. He went back. That's us. Elijah, I tell you, ain't nothing out there. So at this time, you're already disagreeing with me in prayer. I tell you, ain't going to be nothing. It ain't happened the first time. It ain't happened the second time. It ain't happened the third time. It's the 5th time. Don't tell me to go back out there no more. He didn't listen to him. Why? Because if you want something from the Lord, you don't let the devil discourage you. Amen. You got to penetrate to what you need from the Lord. But you're tired of praying. You're busy to do everything else, but you don't have no time to pray. So now what happened? Elijah continued. He continued. He said, go. The 6th time. Just go. 6th time? Man, give up already. He said, no, I'm going to give up. He went outside. He looked. Everything still looked the same. I'm going to be tired now. He went back. He said, listen, there's nothing. Your brother maintained the position. He maintained his relationship with the Lord in that sacred place of the Most High. The brother stayed there. He stayed there. And then the 7th time said, go and look. And the brother went back. I said, well, with a bad attitude this time. He went out with a bad attitude. Go and look again. Bad attitude, went out there. Oh. Oh. His attitude was different going back. Because when he saw the cloud as a fist of his hand, he ran back. Hey! Elijah, guess what? What? I saw something. Said, now it's time for us to go. Because the rain is going to catch us. He said, go tell the king. It's going to rain. Prepare yourself. And what happened? The rain came. Why? Then I asked God, why does he have to pray 7 times in order for the rain to come? He said, you got to understand the mystery of prayer. He said, the people of the Old Testament understand the mysteries of prayer. He said, but us today, we are so lenient. We don't pay attention to what the Spirit is saying to the church. We are quick to do everything else instead of spending time before the presence of the Lord. He said, what's this? He said, what do you think happened to Moses, Joshua, Aaron, and Hur? He said, what do you think? If one that maintained the presence of the Lord, the one that dwell in the sacred place of the Most High, those are the one that gain access, that receive what they had. Okay, what happened? What happened to Cain? What happened to Abel? Where? Because the brother maintained the presence of God. He dwell in the sacred place. So now, they were fighting this war. So now Joshua got in the middle of the thing, start fighting. Oh man, they were winning. As long as Moses maintained his hand up, they were winning. The war was going on, they were winning. It was a smile on people's face. But when the hands of Moses came down, come on, they were losing. They was like, wait a minute, why are we losing? Well, because you stopped praying. Because you got tired of praying. Oh, really? Okay, listen, we're going to get some stones. We're going to put it right underneath the arm of Moses so we can lift up his hand. So because we can't lose this, but I've got to win this one. So how long you been fighting and you ain't won yet? Now who's lifting up your hand? Who is calling you? Who's praying with you? Who is calling you? Who you praying for? Who you praying with? Whose hand are you lifting up? When was the last time you called pastor and said, let me pray for you? Oh. Okay. You got tired of praying for your children, your sons, your daughters. They're going through schools, everything. Your neighborhood, your house. You got tired of praying. Why? Because you just feel like nothing happening. So you give up. And the devil winning, you're losing. And I want to tell you something today. Remember, pray without ceasing. Remember, you got to pick up your cross. You got to follow Christ. The same way Aaron and Hur lift up the hands of Moses. You got to engage in the habit, in that sacred place of the Most High, to lift up the hands of God. I did something with the Spanish people. I said, listen, you see me preaching in Spanish today. I said, I don't speak Spanish before. I said, let me tell you something. I get before the presence of the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to preach in Spanish. I said, to show you that God answers prayer, I preach in Spanish all throughout the service, the whole church. Okay, do you want God to give you the power and the ability to be able to speak in other tongues? It's only through the power of prayer. What is it that you stand in need of today? You want to speak Spanish? You want to speak Hindu? It don't matter what you want to speak. God said, I will give you the power. There's different kinds of tongues. Okay, there's known tongues. There's unknown tongues. You see the known tongue in the book of Acts. You see the unknown tongue right there in the book of 1 Corinthians. Okay? It tells you right there. So in order for you to be able to gain access, to be able to speak this thing, to be able to be, you know, articulate in what you're speaking, in calling on the name of the Lord, God says, whereby two or three or more are gathered together in his name, it will be in the midst. When was the last time you engaged in the mystery of prayer? You just want God to open doors? You don't want God to shut doors? Huh? It said, whatever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. It said, whatever you lose on earth shall be loose what? Loosed in heaven. When was the last time you used the power, authority, dominion, and might that you have to loose and tie, to bind and loose? When was the last time? But we are Christian. We are believers. And we're not using the weapon that God has given to us. Bible said the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. Is there anything that you want God to do for you today? If there's anyone in this place that you just need God to do something for you, I want you to raise up your hand. And as you raise up your hand, I want you to stand to your feet because we're going before the presence of the Lord in prayer tonight, this morning. Hallelujah. I want God to do something for me. You always. Why? Because in order for us to fulfill the purposes of God, We got to stand in that place of prayer. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 40 and 31, it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Do you want your strength renewed today? The enemy comes to do something completely different from what God intended for you to do. But today, we're going to undo what the devil came to do. We're going to let the Lord have his way. You want to take your relationship to another level with God. You got to learn to get before the presence of the Lord. You got to learn to get into that secret place of the Most High. That's where the anointing is. That's where the power is. So not to ask you too much. If you're in need, okay, if you're in need, you say, man, Lord, I want to get into that place in the prayer relationship with the Lord. Every time I wanted to pray, I fall asleep. Every time I wanted to do something, I just get tired. But I just want God to renew my strength. I want God to fill me with power to be able to pray. If this is you today, I want you to come to the front. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. Like, you know, Lord, I need you to do something. I want to take my relationship with you to another level. If this is you today, you're saying, Lord, I need to be that woman of prayer. I need to be that man of prayer. I want to be able to pray that things will happen. I want to be able to pray, Father God, that you open up heaven. I want to be able to pray, seek your face when you may be found and call unto you while you're near. Lord, I know your word said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Lord, I need you today. So if this is you, I need you to keep coming. Just keep coming. You just know that your prayer life is not where it's supposed to be. But you want God to take you to another level in your prayer life, in your relationship with him. If this is you today, Lord, I just need you to take me to that place where I used to be. I need you to bring me back to that place of prayer where I pray and you transform things. Where I pray, you change things. Where I pray, you move things. Father, I need you to do something wonderful in my life today. I need you to move in my spirit, that I may seek your face when you may be found and call unto you while you're near. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word has been preached. Abba, Father, you are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the Most High God. Abba, Father, we can do nothing without you. And your word declares no one can do nothing unless it's been given to them by God. Abba, Father, how can we even enter into your presence without you drawing us in your spirit? Abba, Father, I lift up each and every one in this place before you right now. As you and Pastor, I begin to pray for each and every one in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come in agreement. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.